Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good afternoon. If you don't think today's subject is ever going to happen here, think again. Today, if you take a look back on the past, things happening that are normal today would have been totally taboo yesterday, which brings me to today's post. And actually, this one was one that I tried to do for my Friday's audio-video site chat, and only about part of it turned out. But I decided to try and get it to going on this one. I'm trying to open up the chat room. The other computer is opening up everything but the chat room and my studio, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but at least I've got the show going right at the moment, and I've got about an hour and a half left over. I'm going to run this thing for an hour and a half tonight, and then next week I'm thinking of going to doing it for a full 2 hours and see if I can, because I've gotten a bunch of new ads and things, and I'm still waiting to hear from everybody who's talked to me about doing a show on CNM, and I haven't heard anything yet, but my fingers are crossed on that one. But from the Western Journal comes this one, and the headline is sickening. Sexuality expert tells parents to ask for baby's consent before changing diapers. And yes, my friends, another one of those things that you just cannot make up. During a segment on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation on this last Thursday, a so-called sexuality educator encouraged parents to ask their babies for consent before changing their diapers. Now, I can really hear this conversation. Baby, I need to change your diaper. It is wet and soiled, and you need a clean one. Can I do this? Gaga goo goo. Did you give me permission to change your diaper, baby? Gaga goo goo. Yeah, that is pretty much all the parent is going to get out of the baby. But are we kidding here? This was a so-called sexuality educator here, folks. And if they are teaching our children this bilge crap in Australia, what do you think they are teaching our children here? I can guarantee you that it's probably every bit as bad, or maybe even worse. No wonder our kids are so messed up today. They are being taught things that are totally out of the realm of what is considered common sense, that the idea of common sense is nonsensical. The idea, the article continued with, Deanna Carson describes herself on her website as, quote, a leading Australian sexuality educator, researcher, speaker, author, and ultimate keeper of a straight face when dispelling children's misconceptions about bodies and baby making, unquote. But here's the kicker, folks. She is also a member of the National LGBTIQ Health Alliance. And yes, there's another letter in that one, so it's going to continue to get bigger and bigger to describe anything and everything the left wants. The Society of Australian Sexologists and National Speakers Association of Australia and Partners in Prevention. Prevention of what? Thinking right is wrong and wrong is wrong? Apparently, or wrong is right, whatever. For one thing, I'm glad that America has not gone this far overboard yet, or have we? With all the BS that we keep hearing today from Washington and all over the nation of our politicians who get the power-hungry bug, they all think that without them, the world would fall apart. Well, here's a gem of lucidity for you all. We would get along just fine without you, because we would then get some common sense back and realize just what a mess you all have made of the world. And since you can't be expected to fix things, because we've been waiting for generations now, I guess we are going to have to fix things for you. get out of the way. The thinking people have arrived. And you are listening to NWCR's radio on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media. And our call-in number is 646-748-5284. And we will be right back after this intro.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back, and I am still in the process of trying to get Kathy Hinners to get my new updated intro recorded so I can get it added to my song. And also on my second hour, I've got Douglas B. Gibbs out of California doing the second hour one. And hopefully soon they will have them to me as we head along towards this, the Sunday, which is Mother's Day. And I want to wish all of you moms out there a happy Mother's Day, including my own mom. She has probably put up with more than I could ever hope to put up with. She's still there loving me and loving my brother, and she's still going strong. America is the greatest nation this world has ever seen, and we are also the one nation that has spawned a lot of hate of us, even from our own leaders. Now, why is this? It seems like everybody in the world that doesn't want to do things our way or doesn't like the way America is doing things always run to us when they have problems. Then they love America because they know that we will, and we will help them out of their troubles. But what would happen to this world if suddenly the United States said, you need my help now? I don't think so. The other day, you were having people in your streets chanting death to America. So, we don't care anymore. We're not going to help you anymore. What would happen to the world if the United States started doing that? I can tell you, it would not be a pleasant place for other countries in the world if the United States just started listening to itself and started doing for itself. It's, right now we have, all of us know that America was by design is great. We all know that divine intervention is what helped make America great, an idea that has come and would stick around until we lost the majority and the new majority decided America was bad. We have a war waged on us on our front now with the media, the leftists, socialists, Marxists, communists of this nation rally to fight. They want America destroyed. But the American patriot does not. And in that, the left has found an enemy that is fighting back. And amazingly enough, the left doesn't like that one little bit. We have Nancy Pelosi telling us that what Trump did this last week by pulling us out of the Iran deal, nuclear deal, has made the world and America less safe. Is that woman kidding? She is probably one of the people in our government that, if we just listen to her, would suddenly know that, did we really elect that? Sadly, she is not the only one. She is far from the only one. We have the Chuck Schumers of Washington. We have the John McCain's of Washington. We have John McCain's another story. Most of the time, he'll side with the Democrat Party, or Democrats, as I like to call them. But when he doesn't, he is their biggest enemy. They want to, to bring this whole thing down to exactly what is going on. When John McCain does not agree with them, they go out, get behind a microphone, and laugh because he is dying. Really? Is that what the left has to do to get notoriety? Wish that people who didn't agree with them would die? I'll tell you what, folks. If I had a show that was as big as Rush Limbaugh and people heard me and the left would listen to me, instead of not even knowing I'm around, but if they would listen to me, I'd probably have voodoo dolls all over Washington with pins all over them. They'd probably take a voodoo doll, cut its head open, and pull the brains out, hoping that that would work. And then they'd laugh about it. Are we kidding, folks? Are we really, really kidding? America is the greatest nation that this world has ever seen. And right now we have people like MSNBC's Alex Witt, dumb blonde, saying that increasing evidence that more people are becoming alarmed by the difference in skin color. Here is what is happening there. And I can tell you this with almost complete certainty, because I've watched this over the last 10 years and I have not forgotten things that have been said. Obama is the cause of most of all the racial problems we have in this nation right now. And yes, I said it, Obama. He started his campaign by saying, let's pull America together. Let's stop fighting amongst ourselves. And what did he do? My friends, what he did was start to pull us apart racially. everything that white people did was wrong and racist against black people. Everything that black people did was just retaliation. And we had not 8 years of this crap. When before this, if we had a problem, people would at least talk about it. We would have discussions about why such and such happened, or about why this happened and why this didn't happen. We even have black people who are saying that the problem is not white people, that a lot of the problem is black people wanting everything given to them without having to do anything. I don't really think that's the problem. I think what the problem is, and this goes across racial lines all the way across, the problem is liberal America deciding that the family, the nuclear family, father, mother, daughter, brother, son, is not the way that God meant it to be. Yeah, it is. It is exactly how God meant it to be. And we have people who know exactly what is going on. They have a bill in Minnesota right now in the Minnesota Senate that would allow schools in the state to voluntarily display the national motto, "In God We Trust," and it has the state Democrats spiraling into fits of outrage because God offends them. Really? Maybe we should do more things that offend them. Send them off the deep end more often, and people will start realizing just how un-American they really are. But in Minnesota, they're waging a war on God. And they are showing contempt for people of faith and disregard for the history of our own country. On the floor of the Minnesota Senate, Democrat Senator Scott Dibble suggested using Allah in place of God, as in Allah we trust. Dibble wondered how the bill's sponsor, Republican Dan Hall, would react, since the words God and Allah mean the same thing. First off, they are not the same thing. Allah was made up by a pedophile. For one thing. And today's show, I will start off with a little history lesson for Dibble. And here's that little history lesson. And this one's for others, other than Dibble, who feel the same way that God and Allah are the same thing. In God We Trust was recognized as our nation's motto more than 200 years ago when Francis Scott Key penned it in the Star-Spangled Banner as he watched the Battle of Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. He wrote, "And this be our motto, in God is our trust." So the motto goes almost as far back as the founding of our country. It's very much ingrained in our heritage. Note the humility of this statement. Key was saying that the United States, a very young country at war again with a nation from which it won its independence, defers its destiny to a higher power. God is the most unifying and inclusive, one of the most unifying and inclusive aspects of America. The term is used by many religions to reference the Supreme Being. Christians and Jews and Muslims all refer to the higher power they worship as God, with variants in different languages, all have the identical meaning. But the Democratic Party has been completely hijacked by political correctness, which is one of the reasons Donald Trump was elected president. Voters saw the assault on their religious freedoms and the war on God and people of faith by the Democrats. That's why the faith community has rallied behind this president so intently. And it has, folks. He has completely been a rallying point in this nation. I have essentially quit trying to open the chat room. It's not doing it. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I haven't been able to open the chat room. I'm still trying. As I am working on getting it open, I will continue. Voters saw the assault on their religious freedoms and the war on God and people of faith by the Democrats. That's why the faith community has rallied behind this president so intently. There is something very dangerous about having to attack faith or any expression of faith, and yet the Democrats continue to travel down this road, abandoning a large portion of their voting base in the process. Who can forget when God was literally booed at the Democratic National Convention in 2012? I know I can't. That's something that even I reported on my blog, Wise Conservatism, and here on this show. The Democrats removed recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital and God from their party platform, and then moved to add references back after concerns about losing Jewish voters and Christian independent voters. However, when they added the references back in a voice vote, the move was met with loud boos on the floor of the convention. It's worth noting that Charlotte, North Carolina, where the 2012 Democratic National Convention was held, is the same city where we recently saw the funeral service for Reverend Billy Graham, who spoke at President Bill Clinton's first inauguration in 1993. It's a sad commentary on the Democratic Party that it went from welcoming one of the most influential religions at the Clinton inaugural to booing God as a leader. The more Democrats want to take God out of our daily lives and our children's lives, the more they expose themselves as extremists who want to take our country down a very destructive path. This is where they completely lose honest, hardworking, law-abiding people of faith and of America. Protesting the bill to allow the display of the In God We Trust national motto, Democratic State Senator John Marty said, "The money in my wallet has to say In God We Trust. I think that's offensive." Well, I think John Marty is offensive. What does he say about that? Probably nothing. He thinks I am too, so because I believe in God. I also believe in the Constitution. I believe in my right to bear arms when it comes to the Democrat Party. Marty could certainly make a donation to any number of good causes that wouldn't find his money offensive. Perhaps he should start with his local school. Teachers are underpaid and always forced to reach into their own wallets for classroom supplies, which add up quickly. I'm sure they would welcome the generosity of the money that so offends the senator. What many parents find offensive are the politicians like Marty, whose salaries and office staff are paid for by the taxpayers. With the many problems plaguing our public schools, safety and security being the biggest, why are Democrats like Marty working overtime to try to keep God out of schools rather than focusing on keeping kids safe in schools? Republican Senator Hall said he sponsored the bill In God We Trust legislation to bring back respect which has been lost. Hall said, We've lost a lot of respect for those things in life that we should be respecting. I only assume that if you take those things out of government, you take the things that are respectful out, you're going to put something different in. That's exactly what has happened. The further we move away from God in our schools, the more he's been replaced by the extreme indoctrination of our kids with teaching and programs that completely undercut what families teach their children at home. The farther into the deep, dark well of black water our children will go. And I can even see it here at home. I hear our children talking about how they can't get away with things in school that they want to get away with. And they're pissed off. Well, boo-hoo. Join the real world. Nobody seems to care that parents are offended, that many schools are no longer interested in partnering with them and instead are undermining them as the primary authority in the lives of their own children. Political correctness has infected schools to the point where priorities are out of whack. Our schools lack the security they desperately need. Teachers are underpaid, and yet politicians ignore these real issues and instead pick fights with people of faith. As the Democrats' war on God wages on, the political consequences for them will only be secondary to what this will say about us as a nation. Openly attacking God or people of faith is the only form of acceptable bigotry left in this country. If God is our problem, what is the answer? I can assure you, folks, that isn't Allah. If it was our nation, would start using suicide bombers to get our message across to those who don't believe as we do. And I can tell you this, that is not America, nor the one we would want to be in. In the wake of the Justice Department's lawsuit over California's interference with the federal immigration policies, some cities are now weighing in on the issue. And this is actually a good story that I found today. And it actually tells a story about how America is falling away from the liberal ideals that the Democrat Party has worked so hard to get over the past 30, 40 years. And it's amazing to think that no one, even those in the know, will stop and say anything when we have a politician tell us we want to save our democracy when a democracy is not what we have, folks. It's not what we have, and it's not what we started with either. And what is sad is that our own government, the leftists in our government, and some of the people who are supposedly on the Republican side too, are pushing for socialism and communism and socialist ideas that will wreck this nation from inside, which is what Stalin said. He said that America could not be taken out by force, but it could be taken from within. And we will be right back after these messages.
When you need to know what America stands for, Conservative Nation Media will let you know. the Second Amendment is taught here, along with why it needs to stay.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message. For today's show, I am still in the process of trying to open the chat room. So if anybody is out there and is trying to get in there, it's not working too well right at the moment. I cannot get it to open up. I am trying to open it on my second computer because the one that I use, I have actually several windows open on it, and one of them has my studio and the other one has my show notes on it. And it kind of makes it a little difficult to open up a third window on a small 13-inch screen, but that's neither here nor there. I am in the process of trying to get that opened up. So if anybody is out there and trying to listen to the show and then go into the chat room, it keeps saying this page isn't working. sb.blogtalkradio.com didn't send any data, empty response. So it's not opening up for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but I might have to go ahead and open up the chat room on my regular computer and just shut down my show notes and use news stuff that I have going. Let's see if I can get myself another window open here. Try a new window. Move it over to the side and go to my bookmarks and go to create. That all kind of stuff, good stuff there. But I am, we are back with the new Wise Conservatism radio show here. And let's see if the chat room will open up this way. MSNBC's Alec Witt describing increasing evidence that more people are becoming alarmed by the difference in skin color. Sunday on MSNBC's Live, host Alex Witt said some recent high-profile police incidents with African Americans was increasing evidence, and that's her words, increasing evidence that more people are becoming more and more alarmed by the difference in skin color. Well, this woman who is saying this is a blonde, blue-eyed bimbo who looks like one of these California beach girls who from the movies, when, you know, and they had about half a wit to them, which probably Alec Witt. But she says, yep, I tried to open it on this other computer too, and it says that it's not working. I'm not exactly sure what is going on here, but it just it didn't open up there either, so I will continue to try on the other computer and do what I need to do to get my chat room open. And I'm not exactly sure why my chat room's not opening up, but somewhere along the lines, it with my luck, it'll probably open up on the final moment of the show. So that would not be really cool, I think, but that would be one of those things, I guess. And that, with my luck, that's probably exactly what would happen. But that is, I am trying to open up my notes again because they just, okay, there they are. Now I can continue to try to do the things that I need to do for the show. I've still got about an hour left of it. Still working on the chat room, though, like I said. I'll keep reloading that, make sure that it tries to load. But what I started to talk about before the break, in the wake of Justice Department's lawsuit over California's interference with the federal immigration policies, some cities are now weighing in on that issue. As reported by NPR, nearly a dozen local California governments have voted against the state's sanctuary law, which protects those crossing into the U.S. illegally. The Senate Bill 54, which was passed last year, aims to limit cooperation between local authorities and federal immigration officials.
California itself is presumed to be home to the largest population of illegal immigrants in the country, and state lawmakers have been outspoken about their distaste for the Trump administration's policies regarding immigration. Now, I want to set this one straight. The Trump administration is not against immigration. And let me repeat that, because this needs to be known by the left. The Trump administration is not against immigration. What they are against is illegal immigration, and that's a totally different thing, because illegal immigration is nothing more than invasion of a country by people who are coming here illegally. Don't you people understand what illegal means? I'm beginning to wonder. However, not everyone in the state agrees on this issue, as recent polls have shown just how disfavored sanctuary laws are in some parts of the state, including Santa Clarita in Los Angeles County, which is kind of a surprise to me. On Wednesday morning, Santa Clarita City Council voted 5-0 to formally oppose the sanctuary bill. Now, this is pretty amazing here. Not one person voted for it. Santa Clarita is believed to be the first city in Los Angeles County to do so, the Los Angeles Times reported. I don't understand, when these people have committed a crime, why can't one agency be able to call another agency, said Annette Burns, one of the many people who packed the council chamber Tuesday night prior to the vote. California has overreached, said Susan Agnes, a local resident who has two children. The city of Santa Clarita is not alone, as numerous other municipalities, such as the Los Alamitos of Orange County, are also unhappy with the state's sanctuary policy. Last month, Los Alamitos City Council passed a measure allowing it to opt out of the sanctuary law, according to NPR, with many citizens and officials alike expressing concern over the state's immigration policies. I don't like the direction California is going, said Warren Kusumoto, mayor pro tem of the city. Kusumoto helped draft the initiative to fight against the sanctuary law, claiming Los Alamitos has been caught in the middle of what NPR called a national political fight over the immigration policy. Los Alamitos is also closely tied to the federal government, as the city of roughly 11,000 people is home to a U.S. military base, as well as several companies with big federal contracts. However, Kusumoto suggested that the fight is a personal one, and that he is frustrated by the broad spectrum of issues from immigration to taxes plaguing his city and California in general. As a state, he said, we've squandered away what the greatest generation provided for us, adding that he, as a Republican, half American, is a product of immigrants. I believe my grandparents did it the right way. They were able to immigrate, come naturalized eventually, and citizens, he said. Why is that not the way for anybody to come over here as immigrants? Unquote. Many California citizens say their voices are being crowded out by those in liberal cities who oppose President Donald Trump and want local authorities to disregard federal immigration laws. When you start to legislate that we cannot cooperate or communicate with another law enforcement partner, that is problematic, said Orange County Under Sheriff Don Barnes. Last week, the sheriff's office began posting the release dates of inmates online using an existing database, they say, to alert federal immigration authorities to potential issues, according to NPR. The move was widely criticized at the time as an act of defiance against the state. We shouldn't be mixing public safety with politics, Barnes said. And there's a crossover that keeps happening that is becoming more politically driven, that is disregarding the public's safety. Now, this is just as bad as losing a bunch of dynamite, folks. You have dynamite and it's in your closet or in your safe place. You know where it is. You know what it can do, and you keep people safe from it. But with illegal immigration, they come in. The laws of this nation don't matter to them because they are not Americans. The only thing that matters to them is the fact that maybe they can get a job here, or they can get welfare here, which they shouldn't be able to get, by the way. I've worked all my freaking life in this country. I am very close to the age that I should be at when I retire. But even then, I won't be able to retire because I won't have the money. But people are coming here illegally. They have nothing to worry about because the government has been supplying them with everything they need. On the back of us taxpayers, and the money is coming out of our wallets. Now, if that isn't something that is disturbing to you, I don't know what is. Because we need to get ourselves straight. We need to continue to try to make America great. And no, Nancy Pelosi, making America great again is not turning back the hands of time to when America held slaves. You are just one sick puppy and do not deserve to be on the public welfare rolls. To me, it is very disturbing. People who work their behinds off all their lives just to pay for illegals who come into this country, and we are made to help pay for their livelihood. One of the things that it makes me want to do is try to keep that border safe. Building a wall would help. But one of the things that I used to do, and this was something that I did when I was, well, I lived here in Indiana at that point in time too. They used to have a program out there, and I'm not sure if it's there anymore, but it was called Border Watch. Anyone with a computer and an internet connection could go to the Border Watch site, pick a camera, and watch it. Cameras were situated on the border of the United States and Mexico. Most of the time that I watched these things was at nighttime. And one of the things it said on the site was, if you see something, anything out there moving, call this number. And there was a number there for you to call. Most nights, the only thing I saw moving, like when I would pick the one for like the Rio Grande River, was motion of the water. Every once in a while, I'd see something in the water. And usually when I saw that, I'd make a phone call, tell them which camera I was looking at. We thanked, and the feds would take it from there. Another camera that I used to watch all the time had a railroad track in the background, and you could see a train every once in a while go past there. And every once in a while, you'd see a vehicle go through there. And I don't think I ever reported on that one because I thought that maybe that vehicle was Border Patrol. But there was all kinds of cameras. I think there was about 10 or 12 of them that you could pick from and choose and watch. And if you saw anything, you had this number to call to let somebody know, hey, yeah, there's some movement out on this on camera 6. They'd know exactly which one it was. They'd know exactly where it was at. They'd know exactly what you were looking at because they could turn to camera 6. Now, it's like I said, I don't know if that site's still going. I'm going to have to check that out. It was actually a lot of fun to be a part of keeping America safe. But it's like I said, I don't know if that site's going yet still. I don't know if it's been a while since I've been there. I used to have a lot of fun watching that. Of course, I grew up in the Southwest. It brought back a lot of memories. And I'll check that out sometime this week and see if it's still going. If it is, I'll let you, my listeners, know. But that's one of the things that I used to do. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this. It was something that I enjoyed. It's rather warm here today. I've got my little evaporative cooler here going. It's still rather hot here, but at least I've got cool air blowing across me, and it actually feels rather good. It's not as cold as it was last week when I got it, but then again, it's a lot warmer today than it was last week, and I did put ice inside this thing, so the water's not ice cold like it was last week when I did that. And it doesn't feel like I've got, nope, I don't have any ice in my thing anymore, so it's all melted. But I think what I'm going to do with my next paycheck, which comes Wednesday, I'm going to buy me another one of these things because it's actually pretty cool. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and down there they had what we called swamp coolers, which sat on the roof of the house. And essentially, it was just a great big box that had vents on all four sides, or actually three of the four sides. The fourth side was where the squirrel cage fan went in, and then there was a pump that sat in the bottom of it. And the bottom was lined with tar so that it would hold water. And then there was a hose that was a small tube that was hooked to an outlet on the outside spigot of the house, and that was kept turned on in the summertime. And when it had the float in it, like in a toilet or on a sump pump, when the water went down below a certain point, it would turn the water on and the water would fill that back up. And the water was pumped from the bottom over the outside vents, which had kind of like a bamboo type filter inside of it, and that the filter was soaked with water, and it would suck in the air from the outside, and it would cool it as it came in, and it would actually blow out pretty cool air. Today, this thing really isn't, because it's not much cooler than what a regular fan would be. I think I've got rather warm water in there right now. If I had cold water or ice in there or something, it would be a lot better. And I think next week I'm going to make sure that I have a bunch of ice in here that I can just drop it into that thing, and it'll keep that water cool. And I'll have two of them and set them up on my desk so that I'll be able to keep cool in here. But I'm coming up on the top of the hour right now, and which leaves us another half an hour of the show left. We've actually got 33 minutes left, and we are working to keep ourselves in the right realm of things, because I'm still trying to get that chat room open. I'm not exactly sure what the heck is going on. Maybe if I shut my other computer off and then turn it back on again, maybe that will help. I don't know, but I haven't been able to get it to open up on this computer either. So I'm sorry, guys. The chat room doesn't seem to be working today. Hopefully next week I'll get in here early enough that I can goof this and try to get the chat room set up and working before the show starts. I did that last week, and worked last week, but this week it just doesn't really seem to be doing very much, and it's kind of sad, because I like having my chat room open, and I like watching what the people have to say. Usually, like last week I had Flycatch in there, and he always gives really good information about things that I miss, and yes, your humble host does miss things. Especially in other states, and he's out of California too. I'm pretty sure that's I saw that. I am trying again to get that my chat room open, and my other computer is getting ready to come on now. Maybe I can get it going for the last half hour of the show as we fight to get ourselves back to 2 hours. My other computer now says working on updates, 35% complete. Do not turn off your computer. Oh yay! There it comes. It actually came up fairly fast, and it's got a picture of the Acropolis or something like that on the desktop out in, I guess, Greece, right on the ocean, from what I can see anyway. And of course, like I had said at the beginning of the show, to all your moms, all you moms out there, happy Mother's Day from me to you. Glad that we have mothers, because if we didn't, this nation would be actually rather empty, I would think, without mothers and dads. But today's Mother's Day, so make sure that you wish your mom a happy Mother's Day, and we will be right back after these messages. Maybe. It doesn't seem to be starting up. I don't know what the heck there. Well, that one's not playing, so I'll just go to the next one. Okay, well, I'm just going to have to reload my studio. It's not seeming to work right at the moment. I was trying to play my CNM promo number two, the Fairness Doctrine. It didn't want to play. And now I am working on trying to get my studio to upload and come back. Then after it does, I think what I'm going to have to do then is work on my advertisements, which I just tried to play, and one of them is still just kind of goofing there, just kind of with that little spinny thing. And it says it's playing, but I sure as heck don't hear anything. And I've got those little spinny things going, so... And it's showing that it's actually playing, but I don't hear it, so... So I'm not exactly sure what's going on with my computer, but I am in the process of opening up my other one right now. And maybe I can get the chat room open on it. Microsoft account problem. Well, that's just all just hunky-dory. I don't care about Microsoft problems. But I'm opening up Chrome, Microsoft Chrome on my other computer, as it keeps telling me I have files to burn, which I don't. Don't you just love technology? This is one of those things that it makes you really happy that we have stuff to work with, you know, computers that screw up when we really need them. And just having all kinds of fun here. I know that Well, that's neither here nor there. We've got 26 minutes left on the show right at the moment. Well, I'm not exactly sure if this thing is playing or not. I know that I'm not having any luck here doing what I need to do with the rest of the show. And there's Pluto TV. How about that? It opened right up, and I didn't want it to, so I'll see if I can get that to shut. And open up the... browser on my other computer as it's doing its little spinny thing now, and we don't know what the heck is happening. Maybe I'm being hijacked by some liberal who's decided that, oh my God, he's saying things we don't like, so we've got to stop his freedom of speech and can't let him continue. Well, even if that was what was going on, I seriously doubt if they will ever stop me, because I've got too many ways to get my voice out here, too many things going on, and too many friends who do listen to what I have to say, even though at times I have problems like right now. This is just so awesome. I just love it when computers just decide, well, we're not going to work for you anymore. Let's see what the heck you're going to do when we don't work. And of course, when they do that, it kind of messes things up for all of us. And you know, it's sad at times to think that we have to fight the administration when they are not there for us. And there is my studio. It came up. Let's see if I can get my updates that I was just going to try and do here. Let me start with this. And we will be back after these messages. Hopefully, this will work.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to stand for America now.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect...
Aren't you glad the so-called...
Okay, now it's going through all the things that I clicked on when it wasn't working, which is awesome. Yeah, that's the way it works, I guess. I'll start this communicate again.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood?
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by Adoptus.
When is the best time to talk to your family about...
Peekaboo.
Okay, I've got to stop this here.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, we will be. Minutes of the show, our chat room finally open. How about that? And of course, there's nobody in there, but the chat room is open now, folks, if you want to go in there, if there's anybody there. And I'm not exactly sure what the heck happened there. I was trying to play a couple of those. And one would start playing, and then the first one started. I don't know what was going on, but like I said, we've got our chat room open now, and we are in the down stretch. We've only got about 17 minutes left now of the show for a Mother's Day. Being behind the silver microphone of freedom here with your host, Robert Garding, we want to wish all of you mothers out there, the real mothers, you guys get your, you left us out there, get your heads out of the gutter. Wish all you mothers out there happy Mother's Day. And I hope that it is a good one for you. I am in the process now. I've got to open up my door. It's just hot in here. Maybe I can get a cool breeze coming in. That felt good. That's awesome. It's not as hot out there as I thought it would be. But we are here working to bring you the last 15 minutes of the show, and that's not what I wanted, but let me go back here again. Conservative Tribune there. I've been listening on my phone lately. Red State Talk Radio, and it comes through my phone, and especially when I'm in the car, it's really great because I can listen to it and it transfers it to the radio in the car and I get to listen to it there. And it's really, really freaking cool. I get to enjoy, and they talk about some pretty neat things, which is neat. But they really cool if my show is up there, but of course it won't. When a couple of weeks ago, I think it was when, maybe last week, when North Korea and the United States came up with a deal that the nuclear program, and in an article from Conservative Tribune by Western Journalism. It shows the article that's there is called The Art of the Deal. Pompeo reveals North Korea will be rewarded if nuke program is dismantled. And I think they should be. It's something that if you get rewarded good behavior, you're more likely to give good behavior. That behavior has been rewarded, so we get good behavior from everybody. But in this article, the art of the deal is full effect that state Mike Pompeo is counting on it paying a big way. At least that's the take of 30 News conference Friday about Flamat, in which he promised economic rewards if Pyongyang if agrees to dismantle its nuclear program, saying that Kim Jong-un's people could achieve prosperity on a par with our South Korean friends. The United States and the Republic of Korea remain committed to achieving the permanent and irreversible denuclearization of the peninsula, Pompeo told reporters at a joint news session with South Korea's top diplomat Kang Kyung-hwa, according to Fox News. If Chairman Kim chooses the right path, there is a future brimming with peace and prosperity for the North Korean people, he continued. America's fast track of support for the Korean people is second to none. If North Korea takes bold action to quickly denuclearize, the United States is prepared to work with North Korea to achieve prosperity on a par with a Southern Korean friend. The United States looks forward to continue close cooperation with our South Korean allies on this issue and many others, he added. Pompeo said that when it came to the definition of what denuclearization was, it's pretty clear what that means. He noted that it would be an activity that ensured we didn't end up in the same place that we ended up before, with complete with a robust verification program. The news conference came after a whirlwind week for the State Department's new top man, which began Monday night when he left Andrews Air Force Base on the plane bound for North Korea. Pompeo had an audience with Kim, during which it was announced that the three American detainees in North Korea, Kim Dong-chul, Kim Hak-song, and Kim Sang-suk, would be released by the regime. Now, when those three American detainees were released and they came back to the United States, you would think that the media would see something good in this for America and jump all over it. But that's not what jumped all over. MSNBC and CNN both jumped all over Trump, saying that this was a made-for-television stunt, meant nothing at all. I was rather upset about that one, because I don't care what the left thinks about Trump. I don't care what the left thinks about me. I don't care what the left thinks about conservatism. All I care about is that they love America, and they apparently don't. They want to destroy this nation by hook, line, and sinker, and they don't care what they do to get that to happen. They'd be happy if everybody in this nation got drunk one night, went out and had a mass suicide in cars. And yes, I'm saying everybody. The left doesn't care about anyone except themselves. And the problem with that is that you get people who have been liberals all their lives, are darlings of the Liberal Party, are darlings of the Democrats in this nation. And suddenly they have a moment of lucidity where they come out and say, this kind of thinking is wrong. And all of a sudden, these darlings of the Democrats are enemies of the Democrats, and the Democrats will just come right down on them and blow them out of the water, because they had the audacity to say that what they had been taught by the Democrats all their lives is wrong. What, if anything, do we have when we have a party in power in Washington who does not give a damn for anyone, and they prove it by turning against someone who has voted for them all their lives? And throwing them under the bus. Can't they stop for just a few seconds and realize that this kind of thinking and this kind of action against someone who has been a supporter of them all their lives is not the same way to do things? Apparently not. Because we have Nancy Pelosi trashing Trump every time she can open that fat mouth of hers. We have Dianne Feinstein doing the same thing. We have Dick Schumer doing the same thing. And no, I'm not going to leave out the Republicans. We have John McCain doing the same thing. And when John McCain joins them in their ranks of being against the Trump administration, he's the darling of the Democrats. But this last week he said something that they didn't like, and all of a sudden he is the worst freaking thing that ever came down the pike, and they hate his guts, and they're celebrating that he's dying. I started my show with that one. At least it was up there towards the beginning of the show anyhow. That right there, that kind of thinking, that kind of pushing themselves into the realm of being freaking awesome while the rest of us are horrid people. Should tell everyone that they're not there for anyone but themselves. But no, that isn't what they do. People still vote for them, and I'm not exactly sure why. I'm kind of glad that they do, in a manner of speaking, because of the fact that if they didn't, all we'd have is the Republican Party, and then the Republican Party would start going south, and we'd have to find something else to replace them with, because absolute power corrupts absolutely, and we need to keep that from happening. Everybody talks about, and I hear this a lot, everybody talks about how the Democrat Party is dying. I hope they don't. I really don't. I really do. I hope they don't die. I hope they continue to stick it out, continue to force people on us like Hillary Clinton and John McCain. Yeah, I know he's a Republican, but he doesn't act it most of the time. Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama. We need the Democrats, and I'm not going to say we need the Democrats like another hole in the head, because we actually do need the Democrats to continue to tell us that we are wrong and that we are too stupid to do anything without them, because once that dissenting voice disappears, the next dissenting voice will be the Republican Party, unless we can continue to push new blood in there and pass term limits on every public office in our government.
Hey, that's the only thing that's going to keep corruption of our government from happening. Keep the new blood coming. Get rid of the old blood. Get rid of the people who don't believe in America anymore, because they've become rich because of America. See what I'm talking about, folks? We really do need to have term limits. And I am running out of time at 7:27 right now. And the show is coming to an end. I am glad that there are people out there. I'm sorry that the chat room didn't open up soon enough to get anybody in there. And I just looked and there is nobody in there right now. But I will be back next week, and I'm thinking next week I may bring up the two-hour show, and from this point on, there'll still be a half an hour left of the show, and I go back to the two-hour show. Hopefully, within the next couple of weeks, I'll be hearing from somebody about another show joining CNM. I know I've got somebody who is considering, but I haven't heard from them yet. But until I do, the New Wise Conservatism radio show will be here on a weekly basis unless something bad happens and I can't get online or something like that happens. There's been times when I haven't been able to get online here at the house and I've gone somewhere else to do the show. So that not being able to do the show from here is not a full option. It's something that I will figure out if it doesn't happen. But I will be back next week, and until the starting of the show, we'll be back next working on that one Saturday. We'll have something
Down 66, that's another time. There's so much I'm trying to find, yeah. Just to see what I can see. Well, nobody knew just where I was, and that's all right with me.
bless you all.